as a voice cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your heart.
Of your wisdom, and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus the Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available to those of us that submit and obey you, Lord. Bless us, Lord, with the knowledge of your will. Give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we will be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, we're asking right now that you would bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. Bless, amen. I want it to be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is going to be the final segment on this, but hopefully now when you go to church or pick up a book and read it, you begin to realize that you're part of something that is far beyond man's comprehension, be exact. You know what I mean? When you really think this thing out, I think it exceeds. When you hear people say it's just religion, that's because they have no clue. But it is our ability and responsibility to pray for them, because this is not something you can do on a math scale. This is not something you can go and take even really college courses and get a complete understanding. This is something you can only go to God to get the full revelation. I give you information. God will give you revelation. Revelation, then, when it explodes in your heart, is something you own. Amen. Something between you and God. And it's necessary because each of us have a different path in our life, which is something major about this life. This life should be, as you listen to that song that was playing, amen, that God wants it all. He wants to direct your life. And that's the key to this life. You know, Satan is very, very subtle. I mean, it's the smartest thing that he did. One of the things, and I ain't going to say smart, but what he did was, naturally, he knew what we desire. I mean, he's had 5,000 years to figure this out. And so he put before us things that distract us from God so that we will hold and esteem things more than God. You know, Paul says, seek those things which are above, and you will find, when it comes to that, people challenge you because they can't get past that addiction that we have. You know, I have to admit, sometimes when you think back, life was easier when it was simpler. There were less distractions. But even then, when you look at history, you find that Satan played that game over and over again, lust of the eyes. He put it before you. That's how he started this with Eve. Lust of the flesh. Amen. And if you go back to the garden, you know, Eve desired it, that it would be something good to eat. And the pride of life. You know, Satan had told her that she was, he told her that she would be like God. She was like God. And that's what he does with people now. He tried to get them to be like God, independent of God, because that's the nuttiness he started out with. But it's not that ends up in disaster, because Satan hasn't met his end yet. His guarantee is written what his end is going to be in the book of Revelation chapter 20. You know, and I've recently ran into people, come across some people that have worship him. And I'm pretty sure that that's because they've been bashed. They were homosexual, and they were bashed by Christians rather than comforted. I mean, it's not a whole lot. It's the same as, it's amazing how they're distinguished as to be so much of a worse person than a regular abuser of women. They call them players. Or you know, the James Bond. James Bond never had a wife, you know, to come home to. He was always shanking with some chick that he met in different lands, and they make it seem like this is what life is about. This is the goodness. This is the glory of life. And you see that through throughout movies, you know. They try to make family life seem like it's just boring, but they forget what it is about. The thing, the main takeaway that you should always have, that this life is developing you into the person God wants you to be. That's what marriage is about. It develops you into the person God wants you to be. It's where the fruit of the Spirit goes to work. The problem with most Christians, they never got that far in the Bible. They read probably one book, or if they read the whole book, and then they never got to that part of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long suffering. Okay, because you're not going to have long suffering unless there's something to suffer long about, and that's in a situation where there is no violence. But there's a need for the change in a person's character, and you need to be about God's business of praying for them. Now, that's where the challenge comes in, because your prayer won't work unless you bring God into it. That's why I say prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. That's in every situation. And life is full of challenges like that. So, you know, right now, you know, I pray as much for this president, if not more, than I did for the previous president. There's no difference, because I have yet to see one that yield completely to God. Do what God say, how he say, when he say. They don't even indicate that they want to do that. And so now we have a situation right now on the Ukraine border, Russia. There's a threat of Russia attacking. And it's about it. What you're not hearing about is the Uzbekistan pipeline, oil pipeline, and the natural gas line, and some other resources over there. But what is holding it back in this country are and other countries. But the majority, the largest group of praying, active praying Christians, are in the United States of America, which is why. You will find, I was listening to a program today on North Korea, and they were talking about how hated the Americans are. Why the Americans? Why not the Canadians? Why not the British? Why not the South Americans? Why are we so hated? Why? Because, see, when you pray, you can get into the country. See, and in the last few weeks, I've been talking about how Christ manifested in the power of prayer. And specifically praying, know what it is called, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit, also known as praying in tongues. Praying in the authority, the fullness of the authority of the Spirit of God. It's not talking about a feeling, not talking about something that make you feel good. I feel the need, because we're closing, to go back to where this started. So I want to go and read Mark chapter 16. And so for the new people, because I'm making a point to try to meet new people and bring them into this. And be about your business. You know, I find it a good entry conversation with people that I've had in the past, is to let them know God's offer of salvation is coming to a close. I'm almost ready to make a dateline declaration based on incidents in the Bible that are expected to happen at a specific time in the Bible, one of which being a meteor called Wormwood in the 8th chapter of the book of Revelation, which I have known about this meteor since 1998. But the closer it gets, the more they're able to tell about its path. But when you, that's just part of you. Around the world, you got earthquakes and floods and volcanoes going off almost weekly when we had decades with nothing. Now it's floods every weekend, you know, tsunamis every weekend. And these are the things that Jesus said would happen toward these days, not to mention the debauchery. I don't even want to go into that. Some countries are so far off the hook that it's just incredible. And the irony, the deep part about it is that this was all recorded over 2,000 years ago that it was going to happen so we would know. God is not really about surprises. So we started out with, we read actually in Mark 8:27, but I want to do Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, and it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciple, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And then this is why I chose to read from Matthew. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. And everything that I have been saying, if you don't have clarity on it, you need to ask God for it. Because regardless of, you know, you can be, it's just like you'll find highly intelligent people struggle with changing a tire, you know, because you can do math. That don't mean you avail yourself of everything that exists in the way of knowledge. I mean, it would be nice if that was true. Amen. But he said that revelation came to him from on high, and that is true. And this is all this is about. Everything that's going on right now, for it to be saying, there are still a few people that think this life just going to go on and on and on and on and on, and it is not. Not like this. You can see, I've been here. Anybody that's been here as long as I have, 70, 50, 40 even, 30 even, can see there's been some major changes in the way people deal with each other, unlike it's ever been before. People kill for little or no reason, they steal, and a lot of times I can see in their face, they probably don't think about, they ask themselves, why did I do that? The gain wasn't worth the challenge. It's because we are living in the last days, end of days, down to the minutes, the seconds, okay? And what are we fighting? See, what we're dealing with is that invisible force. And that's what this thing is about the Christ. Understanding you have in you the power of God to which there is no greater power. The key is learning how to take full advantage of it. And that's what stops a lot of people. You know, when somebody go to steal that has a job and they go to stealing and they're not getting their needs met, the job is not providing, I guarantee you they're not spending time talking to God. They haven't asked God. They might have begged God. They don't know how this process works. And then they refuse to take advantage of what God's offer is, which is Jesus Christ. He's not a religion. That's not a religious ritual. That's a reality. Because if you've been following me, if you go back, if you go to my website, millennialkingdomtraining.com, you will find some teaching on why God, Lut, Satan exists. There's a reality to his existence that you have to accept and acknowledge. Okay, and that is because basically we are a blank slate when we come here. We have to be written on. We have to be taught. And to be taught to be a small God, G-O-D, spirit man. Man is a spirit. You have a mind, will, and emotion. That's where all your expressions and your communications occur at. And you live in a body until you cease to function, and then you move out of it. You don't just lay there with your body frozen. That's called comatose. That ain't the same thing. Then you leave when your energy force is transferred. Now, depending on your age and depending on your relationship, where you go after that. If you're in Christ and you're above age, I would say minimum 18. I would actually say 21, but I ain't going to get into no debates over the age of accountability. And I base that on what God, when the children of Israel were held back from the going into the promised land, it was everybody that was over 20. That's where I get my age from. I don't use Jesus as a reference because he's a different level of brilliance. You know, IQ higher than Satan. Satan is 2,500. Jesus is like 29,000. So, you know what I mean? To be able to walk on water. And seeing those characteristics that you saw Jesus doing, you got to go back and read the Bible and see that God is going to give us full access to that. There's some things I have yet withheld from teaching because I've been taught that you want to be able to establish everything with Scripture, okay? And again, God has to sanction it in your heart, okay? But God does, the one thing is for sure, God does everything with purpose. I mean, when we started this journey out with Adam, where he was created in Genesis chapter 2, and God breathed the breath of life into him, and every time I sing that song, "It's your breath in my lungs," and that has a different ring to it now. His breath, his life, that creative breath, that's something awesome. And then we look at how we have brought about, procreated our different human beings. That is so awesome. I mean, you think about that. Sperm and egg come out with bones and heart and liver and I don't know what it is, about 75 different organs and 200 different cellular structures inside one body. Then you master, your spirit masters the body to the point that you begin to walk and talk. I mean, this is awesome. We look at this like it's almost like it's cartoonish, but it's a revelation of the spirit of man. And what God knew this, that he wasn't going to let us have 100% control. Think about that. If we had 100%, we would be equal to him, and that it wasn't going to happen. Because we are not angels, and we are a different type of person, and we are prone to err, and God don't accept excuses. A person has to be accountable. There would need to be accountability. Therefore, it was going to be the necessity for a savior. Now, again, the exceptions to the rule would be somebody organically brain damaged. I think there are rare cases where in our day and age where no one hasn't heard of the gospel, if they haven't heard the gospel, even in North Korea. You know, I'm praying for the underground church to gain a revelation of some things of God to be able to come above ground. Same thing in China and other countries. To the point that they will fear them. I mean, this is a different era. Matter of fact, did I get all this thought pattern out? Because I'm just doing the intro right now. Because while we at it, Tony, if you're using the paper Bible, the original Bible, move your way on over to Acts chapter 5 because I'm going to be going there. And this is the point here. This is the flip side of being filled with the Spirit. Last week we talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk about being filled with the unholy Spirit. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You know, you're subject to the passions of the unholy Spirit. And true enough, you know, there are good people. There are good people, ain't no question about it. They were there from day one. I mean, they've been there. You know, I mean, you read through the whole Old Testament, and I know some. But, you know, when they become to a spirit of dominance that God require, it's going to require the Holy Spirit. And that's tremendous in and of itself. All right. So, like I said, it began with Adam. And then we came on through the Old Testament, and then we saw where the Spirit of God was upon different individuals, Samson, Elijah, Elisha, and what it brought about it and how it would bring about intelligence. I believe last week we talked about back when they were making Aaron's robe, God had told Moses to call upon specific men whom God had imparted his spirit, his intelligence. And believe me, that can be utilized for your benefit and the others, particularly those of you in business. You know, you want your business to not be at the minimum. Your business, if I were to get into a business right now, I would not be satisfied until my employees was making a living wage. It couldn't just be me. It has to be they making a living wage. If you're going to, anything we do, the Bible said, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all as unto the Lord. See, I would be conscious of that fact, that reality. Okay? So let's go and read. Let's get into this in Acts chapter 5. And I want you to pay attention to this. This is deep. Because what we have is the opening of the church age, and in theology terms, it is the beginning of this dispensation. I'm not going to talk on that specifically today, but you need to understand we're at the close of a dispensation. And at the beginning and at the close, God gets, it ain't that he runs out of patience, but he wants it to be known he's making some differences, and he's not going to be tolerating a whole lot of foolishness, okay? It's pretty much like that. Because think about this right now. Check this out. It says in Acts 5, chapter verse 1, it says, "And now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God." And in the King James, it says you lied to the Holy Ghost, okay? And which is the same thing. Think about that now. When you lie to your, It says, "When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened." Think about that. "Then the young man came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him." Typical Jewish burial. Okay. They don't wait 3 days, 5 weeks to bury somebody. Anyway. "About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that is the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you agree to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." Now, let me read some reference here relation to this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Okay, and the point here is that, one, God knows, God is omniscient, okay? God is omniscient, which means that there's nothing that goes on anywhere at any time that he does not know, okay? And what they did was they had previously made an agreement. Now, they could have, at the time, stated specifically have said, we're going to sell some land and we're going to take half the money and give it to you. But what they did was say, we're going to sell the land and give the money to you. But they didn't do that because apparently they didn't realize, one, God was going to bless their efforts. Okay, he was going to do that anyway. He was going to give them favor with the sale. And apparently got caught up with the spirit of greed, which is another little demon that Satan turns loose on people. I don't know if you remember. Now, I know you don't all remember, but there was a situation back in the way, back some time where in 1 Kings chapter 22, where a deceptive spirit deceived all these prophets. You have to bring your mind to accept the reality that there's a dimension you can't see, but it is more real than the one we live in. This dimension is going to be done away with at some point in time. This era, this everything that you so clamor for, this thing that they are profiteering about, is going to be done away with. This method of doing business is going to be done away with. But what we are supposed to be looking is, as I said earlier, in all our ways, that we are, whatsoever we do unto the Lord, do it, whatsoever we do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. In other words, whatever I do, wherever I do it, to be constantly conscious of God and how he wanted to be done. All right, so in verse here, reading from the NIV in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it says, if you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it. For the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. In other words, don't make a vow if you ain't going to keep it. And that's what they did. Now, because God was bringing, now mind you, God is all before in the Old Testament. The representatives of God were a specific group of individuals, particularly Aaron's and Levi and the priesthood. And later on, they developed these side groups called Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were really sad, you see. I can't get being religious and not believing in life after death. That one eludes me. But you're dealing, again, like I said, with a person that has an IQ of 2,500, that don't have no love for you, and he's very deceptive, and he convinced them that life was worth living like that. I can't see that. I believe that. I remember this person had one of these religious organizations had told me that if I died, that nothing would happen. So I told them, well, I believe that. So what do you have to offer me? That was be in my BC days. There was nothing to offer. That's how I was living. I thought if I died, and this is the weird part. I thought if I stayed away from saved women, you know, it's a different. If a woman told me she went to church, but she was in a nightclub with me, she was fair game. But see, I remember this lady, I met her, I could see something was different about her, and she told me it was saved, and she was, man, this girl was walking to church in the cold. I'm like, wow, I'm walking along with her. I tell you, boy, once I saw what kind of church she went in, I ran. I was scared of that God that I seen in the movie, The Ten Commandments, by Cecil B. DeMille. That's the best one, with Charlton Heston playing Moses. But the point here is God is cognizant of your thinking, your actions. He see it all. You know, so don't play him. And people do this. You see this in Numbers chapter 22 with his prophet. So don't worry about all these crooked prophets. It was the prophet in Numbers 22 was so crooked, he tried to game God. You know, listen, the outcome is eternity in hell. That's a long time. Listen, I'm only 70. I wouldn't even want to spend 70. I told you down there there's folk with 35, 3,000, 6,000 year old butt funk. You know, if you ever smelled somebody that had 3 days of butt funk behind them, I was in the store one day and I could smell this person's trail. And I can't imagine what 3,000 years of butt funk, that stuff will cut your nostrils, okay? But this point here, now, see, this is why you need Christ, because you, with your human mind, can't ascend to the revelation that there's yet another species out there that is challenging you. And see, he's very, very, very subtle in that he will lead you, you know, get you to convince yourself that you are a God and you know everything and you got it all figured out, you know. And the Bible tells us in these last days that it's going to be less and less of us that really just believe God in his, as he is. And, you know, so I don't even worry about the decline of the amount of people going to church. The Bible said a great falling away. So, I mean, that because more is coming. The worst hasn't come. What's coming, I'm telling you right now, I've been hearing this prophecy of the transfer of wealth, great wealth transfer. I believe it, but I believe it's a trick of the devil. I see how people are. Most people have no clue how investments work. They don't know how to invest. If you don't know how to invest, if you don't have a plan to invest, if you don't think about investing, guess what you're going to do? You're going to spend the money. And it'll be gone in about 90 days. Because believe me, the people on the receiving end got a plan too. They plan to get all that money. You will see people that living in the projects, driving Rolls Royces. I'm telling you, because they don't have they're not seeking the will of God. And that's the other thing about this thing about Christ, is seeking God's will. You know, that's the whole point. And God is not, listen, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, 17b part, he say he gave us all things to enjoy. I know there's a boat in my future that's 40 foot long with twin 502 Chevrolet motors powering it, and that's a big jump. They don't make Hemi motors in boats yet, but I'll take what they got, you know. And in God's own time, I will own one. Ain't no question about it. And I won't be struggling and won't be sitting because I can't buy gas, because I'm doing everything God's way. You know, that's another reason why I do what he say do. You know, I have basically what I consider a minor role at church. Now, I've had other plans in my mind what I should be doing, what I could be doing. And God said, that ain't what I gave you to do. So I'm doing. And I do it, listen, shoot, I do it every chance I get. I do it more than I'm required to do. I would be doing even more, you know, but why? First off, I am going to heaven. I am going to come back. If I were to die, and I don't believe I am, amen, if I act right and if I hear God, stay on the path, I get to ride the rapture, and that's only because I want to go fast. And that's super fast. That's faster than light. That's like 500,000 miles per second or something. All right. So the point of this is again, you got to let your mind, you know, don't be religious, but be Christian. And walk it out with God. Don't, you know, you had to say, read the Bible. You know, people have you to the point you'd be walking around in one of them roads with a hood on, yammy, not even knowing who you're praying to. You know, that ain't what God is looking for. You know, when he tell you to separate yourself, you got a family. Okay, what you gonna do? Put your kids out? People have been so stupid to do that. Put their kids out. Them God's kingdom. That's God's kingdom. You know, that's where long suffering come from. This, see, everything about this, when you go in the Old Testament, I believe in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells you about love God and love your neighbor. Then Jesus repeats it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and 39. It's all, this whole life, when you hear Christ, I'm walking in love. That's what that means. I'm walking in the love of God based on God's definition, not my own comprehension. All right. So we got Ananias and Sapphira here. And I want to look at one more, Isaiah chapter 29, because, like I say, it's important because the deceiver is coming to take from you what you have. Isaiah 29:15. Okay? He can't take it unless you give it up. This is just describing God. Woe to those who go to the great depths to hide their plans from the Lord. Talking about Congress. No, yeah. Who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? Okay? And I'm going to just stop right there. God knows. God knows. See, no one in Congress, nobody anywhere, the state, anywhere is getting away with anything. Again, this now, we go back to why we pray in tongues. God doesn't have to give me specific details. You know, he just need my mouth to speak into the earth. He command angels. When you go back, First Corinthians 13, think about this. Paul wasn't bored or just decided to controversy when he said, although if I speak with the tongues of men and angels. Now, think about that. Think about that. You have all these conversations in the Bible that are, well, English, but they would have been in Hebrew. That's what the Old Testament was when they talk with angels, or in Greek. Okay? But in our Bible, it's in English because we speak English. All right? And if you're Japanese, in Japanese, it's the fact of the matter is that he's not talking about the tongue of a pastor. I know people use that reference as an angel of the church. Yes, it is. Okay, a messenger of God. Okay, and that's another definition of angel. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Matter of fact, let's go look at that so we can get some that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, and we want to look at the Greek, okay, and just looking at the word anglos is aglios, okay, which is angels, you know, bring tidings by implication, in some cases pastor, messenger, which is what you saw. Okay, but he's talking about not speaking in your common language. Okay, why? Why would Paul bring that up? Because one, the again, I told you there's documentation now that confirmed that when a person is praying in tongues, then the frontal lobe of the brain is silent, and therefore your brain is not activated in minimal activation, just no more than flapping your lips. But the actual verbals, the letters, comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's because you go back to Genesis 1:26, God gave man command of the earth, okay, and therefore in order for God to do things in the earth, he has to do things through man, the same way Satan has to do things through man, even though he can command some things because he did. It was transferred to him when Adam sinned. But that doesn't apply. It's like you have your own private territory, just like I have the deed to this house, even though it's on government land, according to them, what's called eminent domain, and God does have eminent domain on the earth. And for those of you that forgot what that term meant, that at some time the owner, actual owner, can supersede the deed holder. The deed is just basically a legal agreement, okay, for possession. So in this area here, bottom line is it's about being above human thinking, and that's why he put it in there. And what he really emphasizes, but if you don't have love, in other words, if you got love, is God ruling in your heart. So before you act, you know, in psychiatry and psychology and counseling, they had that 10-second rule. See, you take 10 seconds and God can speak through you. You know, when I had that encounter with them, I picked up, you know, a bunch of gay folk. I ain't had no problem with that. I don't look on my thing to see who I'm picking up. You know, and the guy started boasting about serving Satan. I was fighting laughing, okay? But I like a word like Stephen. If you go back, they could not compete with Stephen's wisdom. I've had many instances of that nature, because before I go out, when I'm out, I pray in the spirit that there's an exchange that goes on. There's always, just like with praise, there's an exchange that goes on. And God instills and then puts in my spirit that which he wants to use, or that which I can benefit from for my own business, my own benefit. See, all this come with Christ, and with Christ is another way of saying united with God. United with God. That's what a Christian, united with God. But it should, what we saw here, that's a major point. With Ananias and Sapphira, okay, that they did not submit to the uniting, being united with Christ. See, because if God gave them the ability to sell that piece of land, they probably had more. Now they ended up with nothing. See, and that's going to happen with people. See, this is what happened with tithing too. See, I guess it's the issue of the fact that God gives us life and then he wants it back. But he don't want it, just want it back. He wants us to bring it to him as an offering in love. And that's what this life is about. And that's how I live my life. See, I don't have a problem with it. I'm here. I'm here. And without him, I would not be. All right? So, let's see what we got here. All right. I don't want to go there. So this is a statement that says, prayer, especially in the spirit, is designed to draw us into the use of supernatural power. It allows us access to the power of God. See, to understand what is going on, I frequently talk about the fact that I haven't had a blackout. I have had brownouts. That's where the energy company will turn my power down. But I won't let Satan override. Now, whenever the weather is unnatural, okay? Wind is natural, rain is natural, but there are levels that are unnatural. When it's unnatural, that's being provoked by the prince of the power of the air. That's one of Satan's aliases, okay? I can override that. Now, the purpose is for me to understand that I have that authority. And when you have authority, the one thing you have to recognize is the discipline that must be maintained when you have authority. You've heard of people abusing their authority. Some of the things that I don't share is because God knows there are people that would have tried to abuse the authority. Okay? And I'll tell you, as an individual, if you see God, he can tell you some things. There's an offensive use. Matter of fact, it's in the Bible, so I'm going to read it anyhow. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, okay? Now, I'm just telling you, showing you what's in the Bible. But I also, I will warn you that you can't just abuse it. You can't abuse it. You know, you really don't. And matter of fact, the reality is most people that pray every day won't abuse it. Okay? I mean, that's just the reality. Because it takes, I lay out and I posted it just about, I posted at the end of the videos of, one, you got to have a covenant. Two, it ain't going to just happen. This is why people seek witchcraft. Because they want power without righteousness. Okay? You got to be a forgiving person. You can't practice what God calls sin, okay? Practice is, it ain't something that you do, like when people cut me off in traffic and I want to talk about their mama. That's not practicing sin. That's a sin, but it's not practicing sin, okay? But if I make that a lifestyle and I'm comfortable with it and I never repent about it and I never ask God forgiveness for it, then it becomes a practice, okay? You got to control what comes out of your mouth. You got to watch your confession. In a lot of areas, because it's easy, that's one of them slick areas, okay? Got to be, this is the one to get a lot of people. Be obedient in worship with tithes. You know, maybe God will let me talk a little bit about that next week, about how they worshiped with tithes in Deuteronomy chapter 26. You must serve God in prayer. If you pray once a month, odds are that you won't be able to do right now, because I know Paul did all these things, and you must be in pursuit of the will of God. Like I said, if it wasn't for God, if it wasn't for his word, when people cut me off in traffic, I would still just talk about their mama, okay? But see, and being in pursuit is your bait. You pretty much re-listen to any message, particularly what I call pastoral messages that correct you, you know, instruct you. That's what that is for. So you to get into that mindset. So if you're a manager at work, you will manage according to what the words say. If you're an employee, you will be an employee according to what the word. If you're an employee according to what the word says, and you're not getting the effect that you want, then you get your prayer partner to pray. Because, again, success in prayer will encourage you to keep being successful, keep doing what's successful. That's why I pray. I am totally convinced the reason Russia haven't crossed the line, amen, is because of the prayers of the righteous. And as long as enough of us keep praying, he might say he's going to do it, want to do it, but they'll keep this effort. See, they can't do it without us. They can't do it. Even the threat of the nuclear holocaust, you know, the basically on the timing on that, I don't think it'll happen right now. I'm just convinced that if the president rises holding it down, and when Putin stand down, God will find a way to give him the wisdom to stand down so he won't look like who he really is, an idiot. I'll take that back, Lord. See, that's a pursuit of the will of God. The Bible tells us to not speak evil of dignities, all right? See how quick we can do that stuff. Because we think lightly of that. But see, those are the things that Satan used to deprive us of our power. That's what that's about. See, it's that continuity of learning. See, this is what does that. See, he understands these psychologies. But this in this situation here, we're running down on time. It says, I'm going to read with verse 5. It said, when they arrived at Salamis, I'm reading from the NIV, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, and John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. And there they met a Jewish sorcerer and a false prophet named Bar-Jesus. Anyway, who was an attendant of the proconsul. I mean, this guy has some status, okay? Of the proconsul Sergio Paulus. That's the same Sergio Paulus that you read about in modern history books. Anyway, for those of you that actually read history books, proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind. And for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. Immediately mist and a darkness came over him, and he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Now, again, that was one of the reasons why a lot of things, I don't think, some people just don't believe at that level. They really don't. I mean, when you really get down, like I said, I have a running poll on my Facebook page, and it bears out what I say about the amount of people that don't pray, because they don't understand what that power is. We're wielding the power of God throughout the world. And if there was people in need out in the universe, we would be able to reach that far. Think about that. God used us to reach the world. See, Nothing gets done without the prayers of the righteous. We are the royal priesthood of God. That's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 and verse 9. We are a chosen generation. We have access to the power of God. I related to that. I have some videos in relation to that aspect. See, you need to really understand what type of power. Now, this here is called the prayer of imprecation, okay? And there's an area that I believe that's going to be utilized in certain situations in different parts of the world, particularly Africans over there in ISIS. But there's a coordination in their life. And a lot of times I find a lot of them probably don't. God doesn't reveal things to people that he knows won't. They don't listen to him. You know, I tried to explain some things to a young man, but before I saw, I wouldn't have been able to convince him because he was still stuck on the Sabbath day. God ain't going to work. See, this is the thing. If you have a preconceived notion about how God does things because your parents did things this way, your grandparents did things this way, this is what you believe, God is not going to try to even attempt to argue with you at all. And if you wind up suffering, it won't be God. And I have met people mad at God because things didn't work out, but they didn't seek him. They couldn't tell me. So you sought God, not bad God. Do you have a covenant with God? What covenant? Oh, you don't know about the covenant? That's what Jesus Christ is about. God, you can pray. See, you know, I see people a lot of times that telling people, just pray. No, there's no just pray. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can beg God, but you don't have a covenant. You can't, you're not entitled to anything. That's just the reality. I'm entitled to, I have a covenant. When the county of Wayne, that entitled me to some things, okay, to a pension, all right? If you don't, somebody that never worked there, somebody that never had agreement, they don't have access to that. It's that simple. Again, that's what a Christian is. He has a covenant. She have a covenant with God, and they are empowered by God. That's what it is. I have Christ in me. And he operates out of me, through me. That's what this is about. And so what all these 15 weeks have been trying to explain that. And we are moving into the end of days. God's offer of salvation is ending because he's going to the next level. And if you want to read about the next level, you have to go and read into the book of Revelations. Okay, chapter 20, 21. All right? Because that's where we are. That's where we are. You know, I was thinking today earlier, but I know about this meteor called Apophis. But then now I've learned that science, there's certain meteors, because of their positioning, they go unnoticed. And they can be rather large. So I can't say specifically with certainty that Apophis is wormwood, and that and all I know is that Apophis shows up in 2029, April 13th, Friday the 13th. Go figure. 2029, but there's a fear that there's another meteor out there that they can't get a fix on that may show up in 2023. And I really think we may get hit. See, you have got to understand, God. God has got his plan, but Satan has his plan. And then Satan, if him hitting the United States with a meteor wouldn't shock me at all, because this is the biggest threat, the greatest opposition to his kingdom, the greatest group of active praying. See, being active praying Christian, being Christian and praying, listen, saints, particularly my Catholic friends, listen, you're wasting time praying to Mary. You cannot verify that in the Bible, praying to anybody besides God himself. Jesus gave us authority. He died for that right. You have the right when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Stop. Do what will work. Because it's about, this thing ain't going away. This Jesus used the term pestilences. But you are sealed. Sealed with the redemption provided. See, because, again, that's an area. That's an area. You go on YouTube. There's some teaching on that. I don't want to waste my time on that. So, anyway, I hope you take this. Don't just watch them and rewatch them till you understand who you are in Christ. That's all this has been about, pointing out who you are in Christ. You're not part of a religion. You're part of the kingdom of God. And you have access to power that is really beyond our imagination with all that we know. And if you bring yourself to a level of submission to God, He will reveal much more than what I have shown, talked to you about. I guarantee you that. When you talk, you will hear, that when you hear the term anointing, you'll think of it as the explosive power of God in you, destroying yokes, okay? Destroying yokes, all right? Now, so the first part is that you have to have a covenant through Jesus Christ. There's no exception to that. You want access to the power of Jehovah God, El Elyon, El Shaddai, Jehovah Shalom. You want access to that power. You can only get it through Christ. And it's simple to begin with. Just simply say this prayer. Say, Lord God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son, and I believe you sent him to die for our sins. And he bore all our sins on the cross. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that you come into my heart and save me now. And I, dear Lord, amen, I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior and I am born again. You know, it's amazing that people fight that. It's really that simple. And they try to make it more complicated because if they don't make it complicated, they don't get credit for it. All right? But anyway, I hope that in these 15 weeks I've helped to elevate your thinking on that this is more than a religion, because we're about to get to that place. I mean, God is going to do two things. Satan going to do most stuff, but God is going to do most stuff. And that's because his people are becoming better educated about who they are and more submissive to him. So with all that, just remember that prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love, and prayer is God trusting you with his power. See you next week. Shalom.
Energy fills me, I feel the love. I know it's not me, it's from above. I'm overflowing, I feel the good. It's something on me strongly, if you feel me. Everybody throw your hands up and say, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it. It's just his pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree. Can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning,
thank you, God,
to get it in. No, I'm not playing. This is my trend. No, I'm not perfect. I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self. Turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hand.
Yeah. I feel good. grateful. I feel good. I'm so thankful. I feel good. Man, I'm so blessed. I feel good. Hands up.